The book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. I'm going to look at two verses here. While you're turning there, I will say this to you. There are new church calendars on the table in the foyer, and I invite you to pick one up. It's got everything there. It's got the Bible reading schedule for the year. You say, ma'am, we're already 2 days late. Don't worry, you can catch up, all right? It's not that hard to do, but so I will encourage you to pick those up back there if you would. They're there for you. You said, well, I'm visiting. You're welcome to have one. Amen. They're not limited edition, okay? And if we run out, we can mash a button on the computer and it'll spit some more of them out. So we just want you to do that, want you to have them. And then it's got a few dates through the year, things that are coming up. So I'll remind you to pick one of those up if you would. Amen. Like I say, they're on the desk, or not the desk, the table between the double doors back there. And just pick it up and you can take that and help you to read your Bible. Does anybody here read your Bible? I'm not going to ask the question. Did anybody finish the Bible this last year for the very first time? For the very first time you've read it through. God bless your heart. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. That's it, all right? And I know others of you read it, and I understand that, but I just wondered if anybody, for the very first time you were able to read the Bible through, want to encourage you, and encourage you to keep doing it. How many of you read it through for the 57th time? All right, I don't know how many times I've read it, but I'm glad I saw other people before I got the question out. You had your hand up. That's good, good, all right? I'm glad to encourage you. Read your Bible, read your Bible. All right, you're there at Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, amen, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, yes, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Praise God. Amen.
This last week, I had sermons all lined out. Had a sermon lined out for this morning. I knew what I was going to preach. And then yesterday, the Lord said, no, preach this. So this is what I'm preaching this morning, because this is what I believe the Lord wants me to preach. And I want to preach to you on the fact he's coming back. He's coming back. I want you to open your songbook. Now, you know, I teach homiletics at Trinity Baptist Bible College, and after you hear me preach, you may wonder, good Lord, they should have got somebody that could preach to teach preaching anyway. But I always tell them you need a good introduction. You need a good introduction to your sermon. And I want to use page 181 in the songbook as the introduction this morning, all right? I just want to use it. This is a tremendous song. The only trouble is it's a little tricky to play, and it's even trickier to sing, especially at the last of it. It gets way up high where you can squeak, you know. But page 181, you got there. Look at that first verse. From Mount Olivet, our Savior went to heaven. That's what it's talking about right here in Acts chapter 1. In a cloud of glory entered in the sky, but an angel spoke these words of glorious comfort. In like manner, he'll be coming by and by. He's coming back again to reign. The promise is, I'll come again, for I'll go away, said Jesus, I'll come. For if I go away, said Jesus, I'll come back for you again. Yeah. Notice the last verse. Then the lion and the lamb shall be sweetly playing, and the curse be lifted too forevermore. Universal peace be flowing like a river, and his righteousness will go from shore to shore. Man, doesn't that just make you want to shout, all right? Amen. What a blessing. That's coming. He is coming back. He's coming back again to reign. The promise is, I'll come again. And if I go away, said Jesus, I'll come back to you again. Great promise in the Word of God. He's coming back. So I just want you to look at four things about it this morning. The same person is coming back. The same person's come back. He's got the same name. Same name. His name was Jesus Christ then, yes, sir, and it's going to be Jesus Christ when he returns, all right? And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, I just want you to get the idea and understand the same person, all right? The same one is coming back. Isaiah said it's the one who will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he's called all of those things. And you and I as believers look at him that way and we call him those things. But I want to tell you this, when he came the first time, when he came the first time, he was wonderful. He was the Counselor. He was the mighty God. He was the everlasting Father. He is and was the Prince of Peace. The only problem was he was rejected. He was rejected. He was not received at all that way. And now there were some that called him wonderful. There were some that called him wonderful. I preached that to you a couple of weeks ago. There were some that called him wonderful. For sure there were. But I want to tell you what, the vast majority of them didn't. The vast majority rose up and yelled, "Crucify, crucify." They didn't accept that person. But as the book of Philippians says, when he comes back, when he comes back, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. Hey, when he comes back, it's going to be the same person, the same name. Hey, the same name and out of the same family. Same family. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's family of God. Because he is the only begotten of the Father. The very Son of God, the one the Bible says the seed of Abraham, the root out of Jesse. He even talks about it being the son of David. All right? That same family, that same royal family, all right? That's the one. Hey, not only that, but the same persona. So what do you mean? I mean it's not going to be a reincarnation. Not going to be a reincarnation. You know, some people believe in that. I've read the accounts of some people that claim to have been somebody that lived in years before, and they said, I've been reincarnated. Well, it's not going to be a reincarnation. Jesus Christ is coming back as we saw him leave in that day. The very same individual, all right? The very same individual. It's going to be a visible return, not some ghostly thing, not some, you know, the Jehovah's Witness teach that Jesus Christ came back in 1914. He returned to this earth in 1914. What a lot of garbage. What a lot of garbage. Hey, it's a visible return. That's the way he went back. It's going to be, not a spiritual return, but a literal, visible thing, a literal event, not one that's conjured up, not something that's a result of imagination, no, a literal event. Just as they stood there that day on Mount Olivet and watched him go, people are going to be standing on this earth and watch him come back. Watch him come back. It'll be the same person physically. The same one. Hey, not only is it the same person coming back, but he's coming back to the same place. Amen. To the same place. Boy, today there's bickering, there's fighting, there's bloodshed in that place today. Multitudes of people are killed and have been. All the world thinks that they have a vote or they have a say about who owns that piece of real estate over yonder in the Middle East. The United Nations gets together and representatives from, I think if I'm right, 188 nations sit and they vote, you know, about things affecting that region. Yes, sir. Let me say this to you. They don't get a vote.
Amen.
No, sir, not at all.
They don't get a vote. Because that matter has been settled.
Amen.
Take your Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. I want to tell you that that matter was settled in the book of Genesis in chapter 12. God settled the ownership of that land. Look, if you will, in verse 1, would you? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, as before he was even Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I want you to notice there in verse 1, he said, you get from thy father's house unto a land.
That's right.
A land. A land. God already said, I've got a place for you. God said to Abram, he said, you haven't seen it, but it's yours. It's yours. He wasn't like people in years gone by. My brother and I, we lived in Fort Myers, Florida. And there was people that would come down there to see land they had bought.
Right.
And they had bought land sight unseen.
Yep.
Only bad thing was, sometimes when they'd get there to see it, they still couldn't see it. It was underwater.
That's right.
They had been sold a bill of goods. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't do that to Abram. God said to him back there in Genesis chapter 12, he said, I've got a land for you.
Amen.
And he said, I've given it to you and it is yours. I want you to know that land still belongs to the Jew today.
Yes,
and you can argue, you may be a Jew hater. You may be an anti-Semitic individual. You'll have to stand before God with you in that argument, okay? But I'll tell you what, God gave it to them. Nothing has changed. I know there's what is called today replacement theology. That's just another doctrine out of hell. It is not true. It is not biblical. God gave that land to the Jewish people, and it was that place just outside the city walls of Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus Christ stood on the Mount of Olives that day there in Acts chapter 1, and he ascended back under the heaven. Well, it's that very spot that he's coming back to, and he's going to return to that place. You said, preacher, how do you know that? How can you be so dogmatic about it? Well, for one thing, Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says it, all right? As you've seen him go, but if that's not enough for you, take your Bible to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, if you will. And I want to read some verses here. The Bible makes it plain where even the simplest of us can get it, all right? Zechariah chapter 14, would you look at verse 1? For I will, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem into battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Hey, the Lord's coming back. He puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible said it's going to split, all right? And the Lord's going to walk out of that. Notice it said on the east side of Jerusalem, all right? And he's going to walk into that eastern gate. Right. That eastern gate today is bricked shut.
That's right.
It is. It's no longer open. You can't get in it. It'll be open that day, and only until that day will it wait to be open. The Lord's going to descend from heaven to the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to that very same place, and he's going to truly make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now, we look back on it, and we talk about the triumphal entry the week before his crucifixion.
Right.
I'll tell you, on that day, when he comes back, that'll truly be the triumphal entry. All the enemies are going to be laid waste, all right? All the enemies laid waste. He's coming back. Hey, he's coming back. The same person's coming back. He's coming back to the same place. But he's also coming back, I want you to see it, with the same power. The same power. You ever stop and think about what kind of power it took for the Lord to do what he did? When our Lord left this world, it was under a power that defies the laws of nature. Defies the very laws of nature. Today, if you've got enough money, you can pay and they will shoot you into outer space. And you can depart the earth. Well, I'm not really sure they're departing the atmosphere, but they get real high up in it, okay? They get real high up in it. And if you go to all the trouble and pain and effort, you could become an astronaut, and they'll strap you into a seat, put you on top of a rocket, and fire that thing off, and you can leave the earth's gravity. But I'll tell you something. It takes something to defy the law of gravity.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
When the Lord left this earth, he wasn't strapped to a Saturn V rocket or any other kind of jet propulsion, all right? I said man today gets excited about being blasted into outer space. I'm not excited about that at all. I'm waiting on the Lord. When I take my space flight, it's going to be without the help of a rocket, without the help of a space suit. It's going to be the way the Lord left this earth, all right? He's coming. Man, the Lord wasn't blasted out. He just rose. I mean, you stop and think about that. He's standing there, and as they watch him, he begins to rise.
Yes, sir.
And he keeps on until he's out of sight. And I can understand those disciples. I believe they stood there with mouths open. I would have been right there with them. I would have been amazed. I would have thought, man, you know, and somebody would have had to come and show up to me like they did there. Those angels said, "Why are you standing here gazing into heaven?" Well, I'm sure they won't. Did you see what we saw? You did. You wouldn't ask that question. But I tell you what, it defied all the law of nature. All the laws of nature. Why? Because of the power of God. The power of God. Only the power of God could do it. Hey, it was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And he was on this earth. That same power took him up into the clouds from the sight of the disciples that day. I'll tell you, that same supernatural power is going to be on display when he comes again.
Amen.
It's not going to be an earthquake that splits the Mount of Olives. Now, the world may say, boy, that was an earthquake, but it's the power of God. It is the simple power of God. It'll be on display. And that day when every eye, the Bible said, shall see him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says, every eye shall see him when he comes. Oh, man, what a day that will be when my Jesus, this old world, shall see. Oh, my, what a time it'll be. How's it going to take place? Well, the same person coming back to the same place with the same power that he was taken out of this world. Hey, it's just like you saw him go. And lastly, now don't get excited. This last point could last a while, all right?
Amen. Come on, preach.
But lastly, not only the same person, same place, same power, but it's the same plan.
Amen.
You said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. God came the first time, and he's coming the second time to help this old wicked world. He's got a reason. God's plan has always been for Jesus Christ to rule on this earth. When he came the first time, he came, presented himself as king. But he was rejected. He was rejected. But it's going to be different the next time. The next time he comes, it's going to be different. He's coming back. And he's coming back not to wait upon man to accept him, but to impose his will on this old earth. And in that day, he's going to establish his throne on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. You said, preacher, how do you know that? Well, we got this book. It's called the Bible. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Micah, would you? Micah chapter 4. We've got a Bible that tells us what's going to happen, all right? I mean, Nostradamus sat down years ago and wrote a bunch of things that I guess he thought was going to take place, and the world seems to get excited over it. I've read some of Nostradamus, and I've decided, hey, you could interpret that so many ways, there's no two ways about it. But man, I'll tell you, the Bible's so specific. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. You said, where's that? Well, keep reading. And many nations shall come and say, come, And let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Amen.
And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts have spoken it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Where's that? Well, it's said very plainly in Jerusalem. Didn't you hear that? Verse 2. He said, we're going to go up, all right, and we're going to go there, and the word of the Lord's coming forth from Jerusalem. God's going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to rule as the King of Kings from his throne in Zion, the city of our great King. That city is that Jerusalem. Hey, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. That's been God's plan from the beginning. I want you to know that was God's plan from the beginning, all right?
Amen.
That was it. In the beginning, God created the heaven. His plan was my son's going to sit on that throne.
Yes,
he's going to rule, and he's going to rule over the nations of this whole world. Now, today, if you're a child of God, I sure hope he's ruling in your heart. But the day's coming when he's not just going to have that spiritual rule. It's going to be a governmental thing,
Amen.
A rule across all the world. That's been his plan. His plan hasn't changed. He's coming back to carry that plan out.
Amen.
He's coming back to carry that plan out. That plan out. Now the question's real simple. Where will you be in that day?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Where will you be in that day? I mean, he's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? You know, if you're here this morning or you're listening in today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not ready.
Amen.
You are not ready.
Right.
You need to trust him.
Oh, yes.
You need to turn to him by faith, call upon him, and ask him to save your soul.
Amen.
But you know what? I still worry sometimes there's Christians. Is there something undone in your life? He keeps you from getting excited about his return. I remember my brother, he's got two daughters, and one of them, I will not tell you which one of them used to say, well, I don't want him to come back yet.
Yep.
She'd say, I want to have a chance to get married and have kids. And hey, listen, if you're a child of God, none of that matters.
No, sir.
Now that was a kid talking, I understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a kid talking. Wait a minute, if you're a child of God, what in the world would you have that said, man, I don't want him to come back until? Man, what in the world you want him to wait for? If you're right with God,
Amen.
You ought to be chomping at the bit for him to come, all right? I mean, you ought to be excited about it. You ought to be looking forward to it. You ought to be like the fellow that every morning their story was said, he'd get up and go outside and he'd look to east. To see if the Lord was coming, all right? Every night before he'd go to bed, he'd go out and he'd look back to that east and he'd say, is the Lord coming, all right? Is he coming? We ought to be just that excited about his coming. We ought to look forward to it. It ought not to be, well, I hope it's not today. I want to finish doing this. I want to get my new house built. Or I want to get my house decorated. Or I want to improve my golf game. Or my soul, none of that's important, all right? Well, I want to finish this, not me. Hey, I don't even care to finish this sermon. Even so, come Lord Jesus. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back. But wait a minute. Maybe you are here and you're a Christian. The truth of the matter is you're not ready to meet him. You're not ready to meet him. Not the way you want to see. I remember my dad, he talked about when he was growing up, he had five sisters.
Right.
And he said, in that day, as a different day from today.
Oh, yes, right.
But he said, in that day, my sisters, they didn't, if a man came outside the family, if they were barefooted, they'd run in the house.
Right. Yep.
Because they did not want somebody to see them barefooted.
Amen.
They said, we don't want anybody to see us even barefooted, all right? Well, today it's not just barefooted, people don't mind, but I'm just saying, they said, we're not ready for that guest to come. Hey, maybe there's something in your life today you need to get right with God, because you'd be ashamed if he came and caught you. You'd be embarrassed. Maybe there's something going on, all right? And I say this to you, you may see him sooner than you think. You may see him a lot sooner than you think. Hey, are there some sins that need to be made right?
Come on, right.
Is there some sin needs to be confessed? Is there some sin in your life that needs to be given up, forsaken? Man, I don't know what made me start thinking about it. I do know what made me start thinking about it. I'm sorry. But I got to thinking about the way people talk in our day.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir. Yes.
What a travesty. What a travesty. I was watching a college football game this past week, and they had the camera on a coach, and that coach was very, very mad because of a call that had been made. And you did not have to be a trained lip reader to know what he said. What a crying shame.
Amen.
What a shame. But you know, the thing bothers me the most is there's people that name the name of Christ that don't mind using the most vile language you could use. And we excuse it by saying, well, I got mad. In God's dear name, how can we talk like that and profess to be his child? Man, it ought to make us hit our knees and beg his forgiveness. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's something in your house that ought to be gotten out of there. Hey, we live in a day when pornography is rampant. And by the way, I don't have any of this written in my notes. It's what the Lord's laying on my heart right this moment. And I can't help it to say, man, maybe that's it, all right? Maybe there's something there that needs to be disposed of. And there's some things you need to get right with him. Because if he were to come to your house, you'd be embarrassed.
Amen. Right.
I've told you about visiting before, knocking on the door, and hear somebody say, it's the preacher. And you hear the scurrying around in the house before they open the door. And then they open the door. Hey, preacher, how you doing? Come on in.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is when you get down and you sit down and you see the thing they overlooked. And the flesh in you wants to say, hey, you missed one when you were picking it up.
Amen.
Said, preacher, did you do that? No. Hey, I didn't need to. Hey, when they saw me at the door, conviction came. Can I say this to you? The conviction ought to be on you whether the preacher's at the door or not. Because our Lord is at the door. He's ready to return. What needs to be fixed? Needs to be fixed. Hey, maybe it's not what's there or what you're doing. Maybe it's what you're not doing. Maybe it's what you're not doing. There's a song in the songbook says, we'll work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
We'll work. Now, I don't mean 9 to 5 or 8 to 5. I mean serving him. We'll work for him. When he comes back, we're not to be found idle. You know, I always marvel at these people saying, you know, they'd get out there and they set a date for the Lord's return, and then they go stock up supplies in the cave or in the bunker. I wrote Brother Gip one time a letter. He had commented on something about, and it had to do with the Civil War, and he said, and by the way, the South lost.
Yeah.
And I sent him a text. It wasn't a letter. I said, you know, something like this. I said, Brother Gip, I've always appreciated what you've written and everything you've said. I said, but I just want you to know, I'm deeply offended. I said, I'm deeply offended that you would put out any kind of thing like that. I want you to know we did not lose. We're in a holding pattern. And the South will rise again. Now, I was joking with him, and he knew it. But he wrote back, and he said, I'm headed for my bunker. All right? I want to say this to you, okay? If I knew the Lord was coming back tomorrow, I wouldn't be stockpiling the bunker. I wouldn't be stockpiling the bunker. All we need to be doing is serving him with everything we've got. With all that we have in us, we need to be out there. We need to be in the harvest fields, reaping the harvest of souls. You said, preacher, it's the end time. The harvest is past. Fine, then get out there and start gleaning in the field, all right? Get ever what's left and what's left over that can be reached. We ought to be out there. We ought to be doing our very best for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Just as we saw him leave, the same person, the same place, under the same power, with the exact same plan. And we're part of that plan. But are you doing your part? Are you doing your part today? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Listen, my friend, he is coming back. There is no doubt. He's coming back. And he's coming back to reign. Hey, but Christian, do there need to be some things taken care of in your life before he comes? Before you can meet him? You got a bunch of excuses you've used down through the years as why you don't serve him, why you're not faithful. Don't you think it's about time you quit making those excuses and you just start doing what he said? You're here. Maybe you're listening in. You need to be born again. Well, there's not a better time than right now for you to get on your knees if you can physically. If not, you just bow your head and you call upon him and ask him to save your soul. A Christian, oh my, come back to you. Are you doing what he's left us here to do? Are you serving him? Are you walking with him? Are you living for him? Is your light shining today as he's told us to let it shine? Are you doing that? If God's dealing with you, my friend, you need to come. Our Heavenly Father, I pray to you this morning, call upon your name. Lord, there's a need in this day. Lord, the lost, its time is quickly passing away when they'll have the opportunity to be saved. Lord, I pray they'd come, and here they'd come and trust you. Lord, I pray then too for the child of God. We're frittering our time away here. The lost are there, and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. Lord, we're living lives, Christian people are living lives just as wicked as the lost. There's sin in lives that's not been repented of, has not been forsaken. Lord, would you just deal with every one of us today? Because we know you are coming back. You've told us again and again in your word, you're coming. Lord, I pray we'd be ready for when you come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.